Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Marcus Mariota finishes yesterday 30 of 43 for 344 yards. A couple of touchdown passes, none bigger, of course, than the overtime strike to Corey Davis, who had a monster game. And we're going to break down both players and the play calling from Matt LaFleur with Dan Orlovsky, now with ESPN, doing some great work with video breakdowns as well. You can follow him on Twitter, at DanOrlovsky7. It's always great to catch up with him. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, man? You guys are feeling good today, huh?
We just watched your breakdown from Get Up this morning on the winning touchdown. And I was fascinated by you talking about Corey Davis and how a receiver there, while he's running a post route, is told to get as flat as he needs to be. Talk through what he did there that helped him win that route, where a defensive back slipped, and that too. He slipped largely because he made a nice move to cut out inside.
Yeah, I mean, it really starts from the whole beginning of the play and the concept of Matt LaFleur completely understanding the situation. That's the most impressive thing play calling-wise, is understanding the situation and playing against the guy, Jim Schwartz, for the Eagles defense and going, okay, this guy loves to blitz. And so he leaves some extra bodies in there to protect for Marcus Mariota to have a chance to get that ball off. And then Corey Davis, just to watch a young kid understand what was going on, His route was basically a post route, and the defense that is aligned against them, the defender's inside leverage of him. So he's basically in between Corey Davis and where Corey Davis wants to run his route. And so Corey Davis, you can see, realizes, I need to do something to win. I need to do something to get this defender kind of out of my path. And he just gives him that, you know, it's not 12 steps. Like, you see so many receivers try to get too cute with it. It's one sudden, violent, hard, athletic step to the basically the opposite direction that he wants to go with his foot, and it gets that defender off balance, and then he crosses face. And I can't tell you guys how many times I've seen receivers cross face but then start to drift upfield almost to allow that defender to cut underneath them. And Corey did a fantastic job of almost turning it in. It looks like an in route, and that's what he's supposed to do, and that's that communication that he gets from Marcus Mariota, from their coordinator and whatnot, is you go as flat as you need to go, and I'll make sure that there's an opportunity for me to throw you that ball. So really well done on all accounts for that play to win the game.
Dan Orlovsky, our guest, we talked to you right after Matt LaFleur was hired in the food court in the Mall of America in Minneapolis, or outside Minneapolis, and you told us, And we've harped on this, that it was going to take a while for this offense to click in, and that there would come a time, it might look ugly for a while, but there would come a time that light bulbs went off and it came together. Obviously, Mariota hasn't been out there full time so far. Yesterday he was. He played through the hand stuff. It didn't seem to be a factor. Were there moments in this game that were what you were telling us to wait for?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A great majority of the game, I think. You know, what you saw was a great variation of play calling. There was a good amount of run game. They utilized screen. They utilized quick game. They took play action shots. They hit crossers. I mean, don't forget, I don't know exactly who the receiver was, but there was a play action shot down the field that almost was a big touchdown on a post route. That could be added to that Marcus Mariota total. So, you know, this is how this offense goes. The great thing is everybody on that offense, from their offensive line to their backs to their receivers to Marcus Mariota, is going to look at that tape and go, wow, we just played pretty darn good offensively against a good defense, and there's still stuff out there that we can do. And you're just going to continue to see this offense grow, because now, probably for the first time this year, you've seen it what it can be, right? As a player, you've seen what it can be, and going, man, we could even be better. And that's how this offense kind of grows is it just takes time. It takes examples. It takes these guys to realize how explosive and dangerous they can truly be. And you're starting to just see some glimpses of it. Yesterday was a perfect example of where they are.
Dan Orlovsky, our guest. Dan, on the fourth down, where they screened it out to Lewis for the gain of 17 on that overtime drive, if Deion gets washed out there going through the line of scrimmage, what's the option for Mariota on that play? Did you notice?
Yeah, I mean, go make a play. That's really, You know, that play is designed for man-to-man defense. And what you want to do is Deion's on one side of the ball, and so that linebacker that's aligned across from him, that's his responsibility. And you're trying to get a guy from one side of the ball all the way across the field to the other side of the ball and make that defender that's responsible for him have to run through all kinds of bodies, have to run through three or four bodies. Because if you just get that hesitation from that linebacker for one step, you're going to gain leverage with Deion Lewis, and he's going to be there. But, you know, if you don't get man-to-man defense, you probably have a second play called that's at the line of scrimmage, and you would have seen Marcus Mariota make a, hey, alert, alert, or check, check. So you have your man indicator before the snap. As long as you've got man, it's a good play to go to, and everybody else needs to just do their job of getting in the way. Just a subtle hesitation from the linebacker is what creates that play, and if it's not there, you just got to go be a football player at some point and make a play. Luckily, it was man.
It's tough to poke a lot of holes in Mariota's performance, but we've talked on this show at times about conviction with his throws and getting his feet set. There was one throw on that final drive where I believe it was a third down. It was a slant to Corey Davis where he just flipped it. You could tell he never really had his feet set. He didn't have a lot of conviction with the throw, and he threw it too low, and Corey Davis was open on that. That's an example of the bad with Marcus Mariota. Do you see him starting to eliminate some of that with how he throws the football and how he plants?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can see that there's a significant amount of confidence when the ball is leaving his hands right now. I mean, for me, it really comes down to the play-action game for him. And I've been outspoken. You guys know this. I've been outspoken how I believe this play-action offense is the perfect fit for him. And it's just I've always made the reference of Tiger Woods standing on number one at Augusta, you know, for the Masters, and how it just fits his eyes. And you can watch Marcus Mariota when he is part of the play action game and they're utilizing those stuff. When that back foot hits, it's getting ripped. And you saw some of those crossing routes yesterday, the ball placement, the way, just the rhythm that he plays in. It's almost like when you're watching a guy see a hanging curveball and that batter just hangs on his back foot. It's that confidence that you know exactly what's going on. You're seeing it completely clearly, and you are 100 for 100 on this type of throw. And so yesterday was a really good step for him. And don't forget, like you guys mentioned, he's not even 100% healthy. And that's why I made that point that as a player, you're going to go cut that tape on today. And Marcus is going to go cut tape on today and be like, wow, that's the guy that I can be, that I know I can be 16 games a year, that I want to be. And I can be, there's even more out there for me. And so yesterday, you can't underestimate or undermine the importance of what happened yesterday for everybody on that offense.
Dan Orlovsky with us. Dan, it's easy to watch the game and have takeaways with Mariota and Davis, but specifically with LaFleur. You know this offense. You played in this offense. You mentioned to me you thought Matt LaFleur should be mentioned as one of the guys who grew up yesterday within this offense. What did you learn about him?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, never calling plays at that level. And to handle that environment, to handle going down 17, playing the defending Super Bowl champion, the biggest thing that stood out to me, and this is very difficult to do as a play caller, he did not panic. It did not panic with his play calls. It did not become bombs away fest. He still utilized the quick game. He still utilized the run game, and that matters. And it's something finite is maybe a first down run that goes for 5 or 6 yards that set up two drives later, a play action pass or a bootleg or something, or just the patience to continue to trust the game plan that he did not panic. He just, the way the game was called, Matt LaFleur was in complete control. And that is such a good sign because you guys see it all the time, right? That you hear about coordinators. Oh, they got away from their game plan. They got away from their game plan, and it hurt us. And so for him to be able to stay within the moment and is a really good sign, because you guys, I've been on your guys' show, and I said the biggest question mark is, how is Matt LaFleur going to be as a play caller? And, you know, you can't undervalue yesterday, and you can't overstate it enough that he, in a way, as a coach and a play caller, had a huge growing up moment.
Dan Orlovsky, our guest, the Titans only handed the ball off to running backs 12 times. Mariota did the bulk of the legwork with 10 carries. Derrick Henry has not done a lot, Dan, in these first four games, and we hear a lot about how he's, you know, he's taken a 7-yard loss and gotten back to the line of scrimmage and things like that, and I'm sure the offensive line's at play. You're talking about what a great fit Marcus is and what they're trying to do, but tell us about Derrick Henry's fit, because that one's harder to sell right now.
Yeah, you know, I get that. There's things that you look at his game and say, yeah, this should be a good fit. You know, he's a big, physical guy. Now, Deion Lewis is probably a better just schematic fit, because he's the guy that you believe can put his foot in the ground and make a cut. That is the number one thing a tailback in that offense could do, is put one foot in the ground and get north and south very quickly. The great backs in this type of system have always done that. But you watch Henry and you move, and he does good things. I mean, I saw some runs yesterday where he was just bullying people, and that, I know that's his MO. There's probably going through a process of figuring out truly where he fits in this scheme and truly what he's comfortable with, and how can they utilize his a little bit more downhill, a little bit more power, very, very non-horizontal, right? North and south. How can they utilize him within their offense, but also marry the scheme to him as well? So there's a process that they're going through with him that I would imagine is going to be one that continues to grow.
Dan Orlovsky has been our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7. You can find him on ESPN and watch him on Get Up, among other shows. Dan, it's been excellent seeing you on there, man. Congrats on the success, and keep it up.
I appreciate it, bud. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. Dan Orlovsky.
Great friend of the show.
That's right.
Who, frankly, we helped discover. And it's been mutually beneficial, for sure. Fantastic evaluation. And his stuff has staying power in our minds, the way we look at this football team, the same way Greg Cosell's stuff does, and now Blake Bedingfield's stuff does. You're not going to get better analysis from the outside, somebody watching film, than that. It was a great day for Matt LaFleur, for sure. And that reassures me on Derrick Henry a little bit. Yeah, still figuring it out. But he's not a big part of things right now. And by the way, when he's on the field, he's getting a handoff. That's a problem.